Well, ladies, I am just honored to be here, and I welcome the new ones, and I hope I get to come and spend some time with me when you see me, and let's get to know each other. I try to get around to the tables. I don't always make it, but I've already enjoyed the short time that I've got to talk to some of you. And before I start today, this is a story of an unlikely life, and these chords going to trip me up. I would like to share with you an excerpt from a book I've been reading by Michelle DeRussia, and I'll also have a few little excerpts from Table Talk by Ligonier Ministries by Rebecca Van Dode Ward. And I just say that because it's not my words and I want to give them credit, but I thought it was very powerful to get this started. So, turn to my book. The young girl gazed at the countryside as the wagon jolted over the rough roads. Since she was more than 100 miles from the home where she was born and raised, nothing in the unfurling landscape looked familiar to her. Not the fields and farms she passed, not the bustling town marketplaces, not the faces she saw along the way. Neither the girl nor her father, who sat beside her, said much during the two-day journey. Each was distracted by a swirl of thoughts, a mix of fear, trepidation, and doubt. Each dreaded the moment the wagon would arrive at its destination, knowing that when they parted ways, they may never see each other again. Shortly after her mother died in 1505, Katrina von Boris's father packed up his six-year-old daughter and her sultry belongings and traveled from the rural home in Saxon, Germany to a Benedictine convent in Brianna. They said goodbye to each other and the only life she ever has known. When she entered the cloister school, Katrina was still reeling from her mother's death. She would remain behind convent walls for the next 18 years of her life. Try to put yourself in Katrina's shoes. Katrina von Borg, and of course, she became Katrina Luther, Martin's wife. But today, I just want us to think about back in her day. It was not unusual for families in the Middle Ages to send their young daughters off to cloister schools and to the convent life. 4 years later, on a summer morning, after she had been in this cloister convent school at a very young girl, a letter was presented to her school. Katrina's father had made arrangements to move her 40 miles away from where she was living in Brianna. At the age of 10, she would become a nun. The nunnery was one of the only two options these young ladies would have, either the convent or marriage. This new place for Katrina was not like where she had lived before. The other convent school that she was in had beautiful stained glass windows, and the beds were comfortable, and it was a little more expensive. And there's not a lot written about her, and it's hit and miss because it was so long ago. But it could have been financial, why he had to move her. We don't know the final details. But where she was to live now, there was no stained glass windows, bare bones dormitory, with other nuns. She was a nun without a choice. She wore floor-length wool habit, and she would abstain from certain foods. And in this place, they didn't talk very much. But she took her vows very seriously. Not much is known about her state of mind as a nun. We don't have letters. We don't have emails. We don't have anything that what was going on in her mind. You know, we just don't know what her state and her heart was. You know, sort of like Martin Luther, her soon-to-be husband, was somewhere else as a monk, and he was going through, you know, depression and wondering, you know, studying the scriptures and wrestling with the scriptures. And it's been thought in the book maybe she was wrestling with the scriptures. But one thing we know is when she was 24 years old, she escaped the convent. She fled. In the middle of the night, under cover of darkness, By means of an elaborate orchestrated plan, she escaped out the window with others. I'd say that was pretty brave. Katrina von Bora abandoned the only existence she had ever known and risked everything to step into a life outside. That fact speaks very loudly for her desire for her future. She was resolved. I mean, you think about it. This is a different culture. She didn't probably know where she was going. She wasn't going to have the convent taking care of her. She didn't have her family, and she certainly wasn't married. But when I read this, that word resolved kept coming back. She had resolved. The definition of resolved is purpose, firm and fixed, determined, resolute. As she was living her childhood cloistered as a nun, her future husband was one of the most famous men in history. Now, Luther's teachings, of course, on salvation through grace alone began to spread through. Now, they didn't have Bibles. Just think about what darkness they were in. We have a Bible on every shelf. You know, we can go to the store and buy a Bible. We can hear the truth. We can do this. But ladies, of course, the Gutenberg Press got a hold of the thesis, and this started spreading. The truth started spreading. So maybe she got a hold of it, because we do see later in her life she married him and she had much resolve for the Lord and the gospel. Now, Katrina married one of the most famous men in history. There, in the book, it talks about when she finally got out and was not a nun, she was engaged to this young man, and this man dumped her. Now, if you've ever been dumped, you know that's pretty rough. But she made the statement, I guess, at this time. It's been speculated that it was an arranged marriage with Martin Luther. I don't know. I didn't read that. But she had made the statement, there are two men that she'd be willing to marry. She named this other guy, and then she said Martin Luther. So obviously, that word got out or something, because she married Martin Luther. Now, wives of the early reformers excelled in using their homes as bases for ministry. They were outposts of the gospel witness. They were stationed where travelers would come through, and they would stop in their home and they'd refuel. They also suffered at the hand of living the gospel. There was much persecution in that day. Especially if you stepped outside the Roman Catholic Church, which was the only church at the time. There wasn't a church on every corner. There wasn't this thing you can decide where you want to go. And there was much suffering, but they were resolved. They were resolved. Katrina blazed a trail for Protestant wives by turning a former broken down monastery into a productive family home. I just think that's so cool. I mean, there she was trapped in a monastery, and then she takes the old that she was in and turns it into the new. The gospel was spread, and the joy of her salvation of her Lord was obvious. The wives of the reformers' impact was tremendous, because the Savior they served is faithful, and they loved Jesus and served him. I remember when I've been studying this, it's kind of been like Mindy and I've been talking, it's just kind of a different direction that Daniel asked me to go. But I was transported back last year. We went to Together for the Gospel conference. And so during the conference, you go into this big, like a convention hall, and they give away free books. It's really for pastors, but then anybody can go. So we're going around and getting the free books, and it's just really tremendous. And so over here, they had brought in this display of, it was about Bibles, the first Bible that was ever printed, the Gutenberg and all that. And when I stood there, I was waiting on Charles, and I looked over, and in this big case was the first Bible that William Tyndale ever. And I don't know, y'all, I started weeping. I couldn't control myself. And I was kind of embarrassed, you know. But I literally started weeping when I think of what the Lord has done for us. To take that, and here we are, we have it in our hand. We have more than one. I don't know about you, but that was pretty moving. And then I'm like, ooh, everybody's wondering what's the matter with me. But it was so overwhelming to me. And it kind of brought it back to me when I was studying all this. Because right now, we are not in darkness yet. You know, as the direction our country's going, we need to think about this. But it really just moved me. And so I think of Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, grace alone, faith alone. And so as I was, I'll just share my struggles. We're all in this together. I was really struggling. I'm like, Lord, help me to bring this together. It's a, you know, to, how can we take Katrina's life and the dark ages, and how do we weave it into ours? And literally, I woke up the other morning, and I mean, I haven't sung this hymn. We don't sing it in our churches. This since I was 8 years old, but it's I Am Resolved, and a lot of it's known some places, Hasten to the Lord. And so, I mean, that song just came up, and then it hit me. That's it, Lord. So, I'm just going to read the first verse. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Katrina had resolved to listen to her Lord and to order her life accordingly. Resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. And the thought came to me, what charms us in our world today? We all have things, or we all struggle with things that charm us. And I know we don't use that word, or what do we delight in? What really, and there's good things, and not everything that we delight in is bad. But let's just think about what grips our heart and charms us more than maybe the Word of God or serving Him or getting direction from Him. We'll always struggle with the world's delights because we still have remaining sin and we're waiting on Christ. But when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. The things of Christ are higher and nobler, and these have allured my sight, my heart. Now, the second verse is, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. Resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin. The Savior is faithful and true. 1 Thessalonians says, faithful is He that calls you, who calls you, He will do it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have a resolve to go to the Savior, the faithful Savior, leaving your sin behind? He can cleanse us daily from unrighteousness. Oh, if I didn't have that to hang on to, I would be in despair. Because, of course, we all are always clinging to things, always confessing. But isn't it just a beautiful thing to know we have somewhere to run? We can have resolve. Now, the third verse says, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. Follow the Savior. This must be a daily ongoing relationship with Christ. We must know his word. We must know his will. Heed what he says. We cannot heed what he says if we don't know what it says. And I'm telling you, I just get around people and I deal with people. It's their opinion, or it's what makes them feel good, or it's what someone told them. You test the spirits. You go to the scripture and heed what the scripture says. Not, you know, the little saying says, follow your heart. I don't want to follow my heart. It will get me in deep trouble. Heed what he says. Stay in the word and stay under sound teaching. As we resolve to take every aspect, and I mean every aspect of our lives, and filter it through the word of God. I don't think we are, and I'm guilty of this too. You know, it's easy to just how we feel in the moment. And I'm going to tell you, as women, we got a lot more going on there than sometimes the men, you know. We're very emotional creatures. We're very easily upset or stirred, and some of us more than others, and I'm one of those more than others. But I just want to challenge you because of the day we're in, gals. I see it every day. Michelle, my daughter-in-law, we talk about this all the time. And we're not talking about badly. We are grieved in our hearts that we don't spend more time, that we're not resolved to say, and I'm not saying you got to get in the Bible if you think you got to go to the store or what clothes you're going to put on that day, unless you're just looking at it and you're going, yeah, I don't need to wear that or what. I don't know. I'm talking about the aspects of your life that affects you every day, spiritually, your decisions, what God wants to do with your life, and just your relationships, you know, filter it through the word of God. Now, verse 4 says, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. Enter his kingdom. You must be saved. You must be born again to enter his kingdom. It's like Charles said, it's not just a one-time deal. It is walking with Christ. It is knowing that he knows you. It is believing that he alone, what he did on the cross, when he shed his blood, when he calls you, the Holy Spirit has to waken us up. We cannot wait. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. This is kind of a funny illustration. It just came to me. It's not in my notes. But Charles one time was talking to this girl about this, and he said, if there was a dead man standing there and you walked by and you had a cookie or something, he's not going to respond to that. He's dead. We cannot respond unless we cry out to the Lord and he calls us and we believe that it's his grace that saves us. And that's how we enter the kingdom, knowing Christ is our personal Savior. Knowing that it's not what I've done or an event or, I mean, I grew up in a church. It's about running down to the aisle all the time, every Sunday. No. It's about, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, I count everything about me, dung, you know, horse manure. It's all Christ and only Christ. And that's freeing, gals. And so it says, friends may oppose me. I just like to share just a little snippet of my personal testimony. When I was 10 years old, I really, truly believed the Lord was he was spiritually awakening me. I come from a dysfunctional home. They didn't go to church. I walked to church from my house. I think I've shared a little of this in the past here. And so at 10 years old, I walked the aisle and I got baptized. And as I look back, I am not doubting that there was some spiritual stuff going on, but I don't think I really understood the gospel. And a lot of my friends flaked out because they put their trust in that walking the aisle and saying, okay, the devil trembles and believes in Jesus, that he died on the cross, okay? So later in years, God just, and sometimes I was the only one in my family that he just reached down, he called me, he saved me, he changed my life. And sometimes there's this particular song we sing, I can't hardly sing it, because I think, why me, Lord? I didn't do anything, and I didn't do anything. It was his grace, his mercy on my life to save me. Well, I started going back to church, and so we had this young revival. This guy came, and it was a revival and all. And at the time, I called it rededication. But what I realize now, I was lost, and I needed a Savior. And I was beginning to understand the gospel and the power of the gospel and what it can do for your life. So I went to this party. We always went to these parties. And it's kind of interesting because I look back and, you know, I wasn't always, of course, it had nothing to do with what I was doing. I was lost. But, you know, I wasn't a bad, you know, rebel and doing everything they were doing, but I hung with them. But this last time, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in the room and I get cold. It's like everything was different. It was almost, you know, they'll turn down the lights and people are dancing and that kind of stuff. It was like this bright, I'm not saying there was this bright light, but it's like my eyes were open and nothing felt the same, nothing. And I knew then I had to go and never look back. And I've never looked back. I lost some really special friends, but look what the Lord has given me. When I think about some of you, and over the last 8 years, and I think about all the people that has helped in the P4C, he's given me more than what I turned my back on. But I never looked back, and my own family would persecute me. Like, I mean, it was only words, but, you know, why don't you just get your clothes and go live down there at that church? You're down there all the time. And I thought, if I could, I would. Let's see, Pastor, can I live in the basement of the church? But it's okay. It was okay. It was hard. I'm not telling you it wasn't difficult, but friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. But guess what? I'm going to enter in the kingdom because I know Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing is, you know, this is not our best life yet, as some like to say. And I thought, if this is the best, I'm not happy. You know, I'm looking forward to the best part, the good stuff, you know. So let's read verse 5. I mean, I'll read verse 5. Y'all don't have it. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly way. Who will go with me? If you know Christ as your Savior, who are you taking with you? Think about it. Are you taking anybody with you? Are you working on that? Are you praying about that? Are you investing in others and not just yourself? Are you cloistered? Are you active? Are you looking out and seeing the needs around you? You won't believe this when I tell you, but you know, I've always been a real talker and always the center of attention, you know, yes, ever since I was a kid, woo, I'm the party, you know. And then I married Charles and he's quiet, but he can get going. He's quiet, but what he's taught me is let's stop and listen. Because sometimes if you listen long enough with someone, you will get their hurts. You will get their needs. And I tell you, Charles, our family's been through a lot of stuff, and I won't even go into all that. But what it's taught me through the trials is listen. You just listen to that, and then you feel it, and you don't just sympathize. You empathize. And so who is going to go with you? Who's going to go with me? Katharina was resolved to leave falsehood of the gospel, the dead darkness that was all around her and moved towards Christ, resolved to share the gospel and influence others for the gospel, opening her home. And their life was not a bed of roses. And Martin Luther was kind of known. Of course, he traveled a lot, and he gave his money away a lot, and she would have to be very creative, you know, to keep the home fires burning. And but they were both always influencing others for the gospel. Stop and think what she and Martin Luther has done for us. The gospel has reached us. That's huge. Now, many were persecuted for their faith in that day. You know the stories, and some were burned at the stake, and Martin Luther went through trials. And ladies, in our culture, we have come full circle, I think, from Katrina's day. Think about it. It is no longer as it once was in our country for Christians. You know, for a long time, and I know Liz could attest to this, it used to be over there they were being persecuted. And over there, it was so dark. You know, over there. Well, it's right here. It's right here. It's around you. It's surrounding you. It's coming before you. And I guess this talk just really gripped me and myself. Are we resolved? Are you ready for anything that the Lord is going to allow? And we may have revival. We may have reformation. I don't know. But I just want you to cling to that word, resolved. Are you resolved no longer to linger? Are you resolved to spread the gospel? Are you resolved to take every aspect of your life through the Word of God? Are you resolved to take a stand? And I don't mean, you know, in somebody's face or that kind of, I mean, just, hey, I'm sure many of you could get up here and talk better than me about taking a stand or going through hard times or dealing with family and all the things that we've been talking about. But, and we don't know. But Charles and I have been talking a lot because we've been studying the Reformation and reading and studying books. And it was so dark, y'all. You know, it's sort of like the other night. I always bring my nightlight because I'm the old woman in the cabin. And I'm the one that goes to the bathroom four or five. Ooh, this is going to be on tape, isn't it? I go to the ladies' room more often than some. And so we're in this new cabin this year, and I thought, oh, this is cool. I didn't bring my nightlight. Well, everything was okay because the light was on the porch in the immediate room. But once you hit that hall, bam, I was like, oh, my word. I'm doing this, you know, on the door. I'm like, I can get there. It's like me and Chrissy hitting one year, the lights went out in our bathroom in another cabin. She goes, blind people do this. I can do this. You know, I can make it to the bathroom. But I don't know, most of them must have been asleep before I realized, Pam, get your cell phone and walk with it. So I'm banging into that metal. I remember once I hit that metal thing, I went, oh, shoot, I'm going to wake them up, you know, because they all kind of used to count how many times they heard the door creak in the other cabin. Oh, there goes Miss Pam. And Liz said the other night, she said, yes, we always want to put you close to the bathroom, Miss Kavanaugh. But y'all, that is a picture of, we have all this light. We have more light. You know, we have so much light. But yet, we are headed in this country that we so cherish is headed in that to darkness. And darkness is, you know, you've seen the fog come in. And all of a sudden the fog comes in. All of a sudden you can't see. You're driving your car and you went, whoa, I got to. And it's, I just think it's so imperative for you are the next generation. I'll be gone soon. I mean, not soon, but, you know, whenever the Lord calls me. And so I guess my heartbeat is, ladies, do you have resolves? When the Lord saved me and he just, man, I just started going in another direction. It was just like night and day. It's, you know, I had a resolve And everybody's resolve may not be the same. I'm just sharing mine, so I'm not saying this is what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? Check the scriptures. But my resolve was I just wasn't going to date anybody that wasn't serious-minded about the Lord. So I didn't date. Of course, in my day, it was dating, and then it's been courtship. I think it's back to dating now. You know, I don't know. It's going around and around, whatever these things are. But so I was resolved, and that was hard. And I know, ladies, it's hard for you. It doesn't matter what age you are. Relationships are difficult. And I'm 60. I'm going to be 65 in a few months. It's never easy. Relationships are hard. And that's why we have to stay connected. But that resolve, I guess because I came from such a dysfunctional family, I just thought I would rather not be married than to have a dysfunctional family. So that was God. That was just God knew what I needed. And he protected me so much. And then, of course, he brought Charles. I wouldn't even look him. And here comes Charles, and the rest is history. But it was worth it. Like, it was worth it for me to turn my back on sin and life and trust Christ. It was, that resolve was worth it. There are lots of resolves that you can have in your life. But the main thing I just want to encourage you to do that today is resolve to just, I think the biggie is just know the scriptures. Discern correctly what the scriptures are saying. Not what you're thinking or what feels good. Look at the scriptures. Filter your life through the scripture. Order your life through the scripture. And live out your life through the scripture. And we fail every day. When I stand up here, I usually first say, look, I'm with you. It doesn't matter how old you get. We still have remaining sin, and we're always looking to Christ. We're in this journey, and you just... Now, I can say I've come longer than y'all. But I can tell you, you will never, ever regret staying in the Word, staying true. Don't follow your heart, but follow Christ's heart. Follow His Word. And order your life. And I've just been through some real dark, dark, deep trials. And when I look back now, I'm like, I don't know how I went through it, but it was Christ. It was grace. It was grace alone and faith alone that carried me through, and Him being right beside me. And so the refrain of this hymn is, I will hasten to Him. Now, we don't use that word. But that's, you know what it means. You get it. Hasten glad and free. Jesus greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Let our resolve today be this. So what I'd like to do is Liz is going to lead us in this hymn. We're going to sing all five verses first. And I think she's going to, well, go ahead and pass them out. Yeah. We couldn't get the projector. We're going to sing all five verses, then we'll just go to the refrain. And so this can be our benediction. Lord bless you.